Would you join your hearts with me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Give us ears that not only hear, Lord, but hearts that are moved and changed, so that our lives might be different tomorrow than they are today, and that we might look a little bit more like Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. When Jesus was asked, which was the greatest commandment in Scripture, he replied these words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." And you know he went on to say to love your neighbors, yourself, that these two are tied together. But I'd like us to focus on those first words that Jesus spoke. And I want to give you kind of the premise of this message right up front. And that is this: expressing love to the Lord, to God, is the heart of worship. Now, worship by definition is to acknowledge or declare the worth of someone or something. The worship of God is to acknowledge or declare his worth. Unfortunately, because we come to a place on Sunday morning, whether it's here or in millions of other gatherings like this around the world, we can come and with our mouths acknowledge the worthiness of God. But it is only worship if it flows from a heart of love. The greatest commandment, love God with all your being. And so for a few minutes this morning, we want to ask the question, how can I express my love to God, especially when it comes to my worship? How can I express my love to God? I'm going to give you six ways. These are not exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination, but they at least get us thinking and moving in the right direction. And the first is this: by singing to him. I can express my love to God by singing to him. Very often I go into a Monday and I have a plan. And my plan this past Monday was to see if there was any way I could find out how many songs have been written that express love between a man and a woman. I quit very soon. Not only have songs like that been written and are being written on a daily basis, they've been written for centuries. No, beyond that, for millennia. We have a book of the Bible called the Psalms, which expresses love for God. But we have a book of the Bible also called the Song of Solomon. It was intended to be sung, a love song. We're writing love songs, and why are they such a big deal? Because singing, expressing our love in song, may be one of the highest and purest forms of expressing love. Just saying it doesn't seem to be enough. And so singing comes about. And sometimes, some of you guys, I know you can't sing real well, and your wife would probably prefer you not sing to them, okay? Well, maybe they would. Go ahead, give it a shot. You just never know. But some of you have our song. When you hear it, your mind immediately goes to that kind of love. Maybe it was sung at your wedding or at the reception following it, or maybe you found that song sometime during your relationship and it's significant for you. If it's true in our love relationships with one another that music expresses it in a fuller, it's a more full expression of our love, then what about with God? We are called over and over and over again to sing to the Lord. For instance, in Psalm 147, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. Now, he goes on with other instruments, but singing to the Lord, expressing your love to the God. In Psalm 66, praise our Lord, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. In other words, this is not something that you have to do in the privacy of your car. Have you ever pulled up beside somebody in the car and turned over and look at them and they were just singing to beat the band? When it comes to singing praises for God, we need to roll down the window. Express that praise. Sing it out. Don't worry about what the person next to you thinks about your singing. May the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be pleasing in His sight, not in the ears of your neighbor. And we're not to do this just solely, just on our own. Psalm 95 encourages us, come, let us sing to the Lord. Sing for joy to the Lord, and let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Don't be silent. Don't be quiet about it. Express it. Make it obvious. Now, I know that in some circles, a worship service like this, people get up and they go, okay, well, let's get dressed and go to preaching. And in many ways, music is kind of seen as the preliminaries, just kind of the warm-up act. But that's not the way God designed it. It's not entertainment. It's not a warm-up act. It is something in which we can engage and should engage. Singing from our hearts to the Lord, expressing our love for Him, our worship of Him, His worthiness. Just like love songs have been written between men and women for centuries and millennia, so too have love songs been written to God. Let me find another way, a higher way, a purer way, Lord, from the overflow of my heart to try to sing and make melody to You, God. To rejoice in who You are, to express my love to You. Just saying it sometimes doesn't seem to be enough. All kinds of tunes have been written. All kinds of instruments have been used. But it is worship if it is driven by a heart of love. Now, you know what? You can do this on your own. I've heard people say to me, you know, Pastor, I can worship on the golf course. I can worship out on the boat in the lake. And that's true. You can. You can also worship as you pull the garbage can out to the road and as you stand at the sink doing dishes. You can and should worship in all of your life. It should be a part of your regular daily routine to acknowledge your love to God. But God calls us to come together to worship, to gather to express our praise corporately because He inhabits the praise of His people. And it brings joy to the heart of the Father when His children gather to express their love. You remember your family gatherings? We always looked forward to Christmas time. One of the few times that my father's side of the family got together as a group, because there were seven brothers and sisters and grandchildren, and it got kind of wild and hairy, but we'd all pack into his living room at the front of the house around the tree. Just rejoice in it. And I cannot imagine the joy that he must have had in his children and his grandchildren gathering together. Jackie's coming home for spring break. She's delayed it till tomorrow now. Daddy kind of wishes it was today. We rejoice as our children come together. God rejoices as His children come together to express love. And one of the highest and purest forms that we can do is by singing to Him. So sing in your car. Sing in the shower. Sing if your wife or husband will let you to at home. But when we gather together here, let us sing. Express that love to God. A second way that I can show my love to God in my worship is by talking with God. By talking with Him. Now, for some of you who've been believers for a long time, talking with God is just a natural thing. Just like breathing. For some of you, you're like, I haven't been a Christian too long, or I really haven't gotten the swing of this thing. How do I talk to God? How do I speak to Him? How do I express myself to Him? Well, how do you talk to your best friend? You open up and you share your heart. You share with God what's on your heart. And because He loves you, He wants to listen. He wants to hear what you have to say. The Bible says, I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. I know God's listening, and therefore I will continue to go and to speak to Him and to share my heart with Him. In fact, your love relationship with God is closely tied to your communication with Him. That love relationship with you have with God is very closely tied with your communicating with Him. If you spend very little time in prayer, then I can almost guarantee you that you do not sense the closeness of the Father. Those times in my life that I don't spend time with God in prayer, devoted to Him, God certainly doesn't feel as close. But the thing is, God's never moved. It's me. And so being tied to Him in a prayer life draws me closer to Him, and I sense His presence in a greater way. And so one of the ways that I express my love to God, who wants to hear my voice, is by going and sharing my heart, by talking with Him. Now, closely tied to that is this. You can express your love to God by listening to Him. When you listen to someone, what you're saying is, I value you. What you are important to me, and what you are saying is important to me. And I tell couples all the time in premarriage counseling that listening to one another is going to be one of the keys to a great relationship. The problem is, I don't always practice it. Sometimes if we just do what we know, life would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Listening expresses love. What you have to say is important to me. Now, if listening is important in our human relationships, what about our relationship with God? Prayer, you see, is more than talking to God. It's more than just going and saying, okay, God, here's my list today. When was the last time you finished sharing your heart with God and then just stopped and said, okay, God, now is your turn? What is it that you have to say to me? What is it that you want me to hear? I love you, and therefore I want to listen to what you have to say to me. Do you know that God is still speaking today? As you open up His Word, He speaks. As you listen to the counsel or the teaching of godly people, He speaks. As you go through the circumstances of your life, He speaks. He even speaks to you in that still, small voice, that quiet, gentle whisper. God is still speaking. He still has something to say to you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They too will listen to my voice. You see, to hear God, we must be quiet and listen. To hear God, we must be quiet and listen. Do you know the voice of the good shepherd? Do you know the voice of God? Do you make room in your life to hear Him? Think about it. Are you giving God time and space in your life to hear from Him? I know that in my life, it was only when I got quiet before God that I could hear Him speak the loudest. The Bible says that love is not rude. And since God is love, God is not rude. God will be patient. God will keep speaking. And one day, when it's quiet, and when you're listening, you just may hear His voice. And when you do, it can change your life. It is a beautifully dangerous thing to be alone with God. And we need to make room, make time in our lives for that. Let me add one other thing here. If you're not hearing from God in your life, it may be that you're too busy or that you've got too much noise, or it might be for you that you simply do not have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. It could be that you are not a follower of Christ, that you are not His child. You are His creation. He loves you dearly, but you have never taken that step of faith. You've never given yourself to Him. You've never received the salvation that He has for you. And therefore, you don't have that closeness with God. You don't have that relationship with Him. And therefore, you don't hear what He has to say. Even though He's speaking over and over and over again, and today you could come to accept Christ as Savior. You could come and lay down your life. You could come and become a part of the family of God. Well, a fourth way that we can express our love to God is by identifying with Him. There are areas of the world that are dangerous for believers. Very dangerous. You can get beat up. Your business boycotted. Your house burned down. You can even be killed for being a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet, people all over the world, in very dangerous places, take a stand for Jesus. Because we've now moved into the technology age and we have our messages now on the internet, I don't want to share any names, but there's a missionary couple that we continue to pray for in the life of our church who work in what could be a very dangerous part of the world. He just had the opportunity to go driving treacherous roads in the middle of the night to a community where there were 10 new believers who wanted to be baptized, who wanted to identify themselves with Jesus Christ, even though it was risky. And the email came back that the baptisms went off without a hitch. These people put themselves at risk in order to identify themselves with Jesus Christ. What about us? Are we willing to identify ourselves with Him? This is what Jesus said. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have fully identified myself with him. Have you identified yourself with Jesus? I heard it back in college. The question that really hit me was this. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Have you identified yourself with him? Have you declared your faith, followed the Lord in baptism, and become a part of a local body of believers? That's the New Testament norm. That's what we see over and over. They believed, they were baptized, and they were brought into the life of the church. They identified themselves with Jesus by becoming a part of his body. Maybe for you, that's what God is calling you. That's your next step to say, okay, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. I know that I belong to him. I am in the family of God, but I need to take that next step and say, I'm identifying myself with Jesus Christ. I need to be baptized. I need to be a part of a local family of faith. You see, being a Christian is not about wearing the right t-shirt or the right cap or about putting a fish decal on your car. Following Christ means you identify with him. And identifying with him means that you show your Christian faith in your lifestyle and that you're ready to tell anyone the reason that your life is different. Anyone the reason for the hope that you have inside of you, because that hope is Jesus. Fifth, I can show my love, express my love to God by being committed to him. To be committed means that you have made a decision or a pledge to do something and that you're bound and determined to do it. You and I make commitments all the time. Last year when we got the television and, you know, HD TV, and we're looking at TV and it doesn't look real good, so we decided to upgrade to get a better signal. Pretty nice signal. But guess what we had to do to get it? We had to commit. You're going to keep this for a certain period of time. Your cell phone. You go get that cell phone, what do? You end up signing. Got to make a commitment. We make commitments like that all the time. Big ones, small ones. Some of you made commitments over this time, this season of Lent, to give up something in your life, to give up sweets or to give up potatoes. You make these commitments. It's just part of life. Some of you made very substantial commitments, big things. You've committed in your life, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give at least a tenth of my income to the work of the Lord. I'm tithing. Some of you made commitments, I'm going to be a part of a debt retirement campaign and to help the church come away from under this burden so that it can do more ministry and missions. Those are commitments. But what is the commitment that you and I are called to in Scripture? I draw your attention to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. To give yourself to God completely as a living sacrifice. Now that sounds like pretty serious commitment, doesn't it? Maybe some of you heard the story of the pig and the chicken that overheard the farmer and his wife talking about breakfast the next day. The farmer kind of had a hankering for bacon and eggs. And so the chicken turns to the pig and he says, well, I guess we're going to be part of that breakfast tomorrow. And the pig looks back and he says, yeah. He said, but from you it only requires a contribution. From me it requires total commitment. What about your commitment? I'm not saying that you're going to be fried up for breakfast tomorrow. Some parts of the world, you know, that could happen. But what about your commitment? Is your commitment a series of small contributions? Or is your commitment, I'm all in. I'm a living sacrifice. I've given myself completely and fully to the Lord. We make a commitment like this out of a heart of love. We love God so much who held nothing back for us that we hold nothing back for him. 2 Chronicles 16 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is looking for people who are committed to Him. What does He see here this morning? And His commitment is, I'm looking for those people who are committed to me so that I can strengthen them, to give them everything that they need for life and godliness. Part of what it means to express our love to God, both in life and in worship, is that we're all in. One of the things that I have to do every Sunday morning, because I got to tell you, pastors, and it's okay, I understand this. This is the way life is. Pastors get bombarded on Sunday morning. Questions, problems, this, that, and the other thing. One of the things that I have to do is to sit here on Sunday morning or kneel right there at my seat on Sunday morning and say, okay, God, I'm all in. And those parts of me that are distracted right now, the stress, the strain, all this stuff, God, you're going to have to help me with this because right now it's overwhelming me. I want to push it aside. And God's eyes are looking for people who are committed so that He can strengthen them. And so I'm trusting God to do what I'm having a hard time doing, and that is to help me be all in when it comes to worshiping Him. Well, finally, I can express my love to God by giving to Him. Giving, like commitment, grows out of a heart of love and gratitude. We give to those things that capture our hearts. Where your treasure is, Jesus said, there's where you're going to find your heart. Our giving flows in the direction of our love. Now, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving, because giving shows what it is that we love. That's why we spend so much money on our kids. We're expressing our love in the best way that we know how, in a faulty way, I'm sure, but we're trying to express it the best way we know how, and our money flows that way. In the Bible, we read these words, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see also that you excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And here's what Paul is saying. The sincerity of your love is expressed in the grace of giving. The sincerity of your love is expressed in the grace of giving. The Bible spends a lot of time talking about money and possessions. A lot of time. Why? Because it expresses our heart. How we handle the possessions and the money that we have reflects our heart. Now, if we're to have a heart that's kind of beaten in rhythm with God's heart, then we want to examine God's heart. And perhaps the most known verse in all the world is John 3:16, which begins, God so loved the world that He what? He gave. God's love led Him to give, to hold nothing back, to give fully and completely, because giving flows out of love. And did you notice how the Bible encourages us to give? Each man should give what he has decided. That is commitment. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart, love, to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at that verse. Each of us should give what we've decided, committed in our hearts to give, out of love. We shouldn't give so that, I hadn't seen this happen, but I sit up at the front. It could happen all the time, as far as I know. You know, that you have to pull the check out of somebody's hand, you know, kind of peel their fingers back. That's not the kind of giving God wants, where you have to really force it out of somebody. And God doesn't want guilt-ridden giving. That the pastor just comes here and pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds. If you don't give, we won't be able to have the lights on next week. We won't be able to give little goldfish to your children. You're never going to hear that from me, except in the way you just heard it. Because God wants you to give out of love. And only when you give out of love can you give with a cheerful heart. When I give to my kids, I can be happy about it because I love them. When God gives to us without reserve, He rejoices in the gift that is received. And when we give to Him, we should also give with a cheerful heart, a joyful heart, a heart of love. So here's the bottom line. There are many ways that you can express your love to God. We looked at six this morning. God's love for you, God loves you. His greatest desire is for you to love Him back, which is kind of my layman's definition of what worship is. Worshiping is loving God back. We express our heart to Him in our worship. Now, you can go to your grace group, come here, you can put money in the offering plate and not do it out of love. But what God wants more than anything else is for everything that you do for Him and in life to be an act of worship. And the only way that everything you do can be an act of worship for Him is if it is done with a heart of love. It's easy to wander off. God may be calling some of you back to a relationship of love. The hymn puts it this way. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. For some of you this morning, that needs to be your prayer to God. God, I wander so much from you whom I love. And so, God, I'm coming this morning. I'm bringing my heart. Take it, Lord. Seal it with your Holy Spirit. Seal it for eternity. For some of you, that needs to be your commitment this morning. That is a way to express your love to God by coming and saying, God, I wandered so far, but I want to come back. Receive me, and He will. For others of you, you may need to come and say, God, I've never had what I hear the pastor talking about right now. I've never had that relationship. I've never known your love. I've never heard your voice. But today, your Holy Spirit has convicted me. And I want to come and become your child. I want to hear you. I want to know your presence. I want to call you Father and mean it. I want a relationship with you. And I got to tell you, God's been waiting for that decision, for you to make that decision for a long, long time. And He will not turn you away. He will receive you. And we've got some men and women that would love to talk with you about getting started in a new life in Jesus Christ.